Say Nyawa.
Nyawa.
High tone for Tibetan people. Okay, Nyawa.
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 Okay. Nyawa means health, and today we're going to talk about the health. We reach the health. I'll go through all the healths first, which I've been many times, and then I'll talk about why they're possible and why it's important to study them, because this is part of our upbringing. You know, in the West, and especially Christianity and Judeo-Christian tradition, that, you know, most of us rejected. Most of us thought was weird or irrelevant or maybe didn't even exist. And so I want to talk about that. But first we'll talk about what they are, and then we'll get into whether or not they're possible, right? Logically possible. Right? So first we'll talk about, say, Tanya.
Sanya.
Ge.
Ge.
Sanya.
Sanya.
Ge. Ge. Sa means here hot. Okay? Hot. Sawa means hot. Niel means hell. And ge means eight different kinds. The eight different kinds of hothouse. Supposed to be that the hells are located directly under Vajrasana, the diamond seat, which is where the Buddha became enlightened. In Tibetan nowadays, it's called Dorje Den. Dorje Den. Bodhgaya. And they are supposed to be, I don't remember the exact thing, but it's like 320,000 yojanas to the bottom of the hells. So the hells are like a huge chamber. I believe it's 20,000 yojana, which would be like 90,000 miles across. And they're shaped like that. They're stacked on top of each other. And the lightest one starts up here and then it goes down to the heavier ones, to the worst ones. So we'll go from top to bottom. There's a big debate about how they fit under the earth. And they say, well, the continents are bigger at the bottom than at the top where they come up out of the ocean. So, say Yangtze.
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 Yang means again, like the R-E in English. Like reborn, regenerate, it's like R-E. Yang means again. So comes from the verb so. And by the way, sometimes it's spelled without the kao. Sometimes it's spelled like that, for you Tibetan people. But soa is the so in sojong, for example. What's sojong mean? I mean, it's the monk's confession ceremony, but the so part means to fix something that was broken, to repair something, to renew something. And that's the basic meaning of so. Even in modern Tibetan, we say sochu gyap means, what are you up to today? You say, oh, I'm renovating my house, or I'm fixing my house. So so means to renovate or to fix something. Yangtze is the, especially without the ka, is the imperative, which means regenerate or get back up. It means, I don't know, what's it? How do I translate it? Revive, okay. You can say revive. This hell is called revive.
Together, Yangtze means?
Yeah, revive. Okay? Revive. So what it means is when you get born in this hell, by the way, what kind of, do you have a hell mommy and daddy, or you just show up there? I mean, you show up complete, okay? After a bardo existence, you go there, you get there through the bardo, and then you appear in that hell. And it's this experience where it's a very much like what Dante wrote. So if you want to read a really good example, I mean, read Dante, okay, the Inferno. It's very, very similar to what Dante wrote. But anyway, it's this huge, huge chamber, 90,000 miles across, and burning, hot, and this massive confusion. You know, people just screaming and struggling and running. And what happens when you get there is that you, because of your karma, you feel this intense hatred for the other people there. The minute you're born there, the minute you show up there, you're part of them. And you just feel this tremendous hatred for everyone else there. So you take any kind of thing you can get your hands on. like if there's a stick there or a piece of rock or a piece of metal or anything you can get your hands on, and you start beating each other with it. Even if you're with your fingernails or something, anything you can think of that could be a weapon, you start to attack the other people there, and they're attacking you. And you just keep beating each other, ripping at each other, until you just fall down senseless. I mean, after this huge mass of beings is finished beating each other and smashing at each other, then they just fall down unconscious. And then a voice comes from the sky and says, Yang Si. And Yang Si means get back up. So you've been unconscious, and there's this voice that comes out of the roof of the place, and it says, get back up. And the karma is that when you hear that voice, your life comes back, and you get back up again. And you start struggling again, and you start fighting with each other again. There's a special kind of pain when you die in this life. And we talked about it before, it's called Nechugi Dunyo, but it's a special kind of pain. Like it's the pain of a bug that gets crushed, or it's the pain of a person who's burning in a fire in a house. But it's that last final pain. And it's supposed to be very, very extraordinary. I guess it's why we've probably been through it countless times, and it's probably why we fear death so much, because it's some kind of extraordinary pain that people have as they die, as any being has as they die. So they say in this hell, every day you're going through that many times. You reach that point of that kind of pain where you're dying. You feel the kind of pain of dying. And you go through that special kind of agony. And then that voice says, Yang Si, get back up. And you have to get back up. And you go through it again. And people start beating you, you start beating them. And then, so they say, like in this life, you'll only feel that kind of pain once in 50 years, 60 years. But in Yang Si, you're going through it many times every day. And there's no end, you just keep going. How long does it last? I have the calculation here. I didn't have time to figure it out. But basically, time in the house moves hundreds of times slower than it does here. So that a day in our world would be years in a hell, many years. And they live very, very long lives. They live millions of years. And time is going extremely slow. You know it when you get a headache or something, time seems to slow down. When you're having a good time, time speeds up. And when you're suffering, if you have a backache or you're sick or something, it seems like the day will never end. And in the hells, it's much, much worse. So that's the experience in Yangtze. That's the lightest hell. They say that one moment of pain there is more pain than a person could feel in a whole lifetime as a human. They say you can't compare it to all the collective pain of a person in this existence in a lifetime.
What's the physical form that beings take in columns?
I don't know. You know, they show them as some kind of... They don't say much about it. When they get down to the lower house, they describe it. I mean, my impression is that you look pretty much like a human or something, but I don't know. If the bardo is supposed to resemble the person in the hell, then maybe it's short and burnt and something like that. But they don't really, don't remember seeing it. When you get down to the lower hells, it does. Say, Thich Nhat.
Thich
Nhat.
Thich Nhat.
Thich means a line. A line. For example, when you're laying out a house, Andy knows. Somebody goes the day before you do the construction and they lay out the lines. They do Thich. In Tibet, it's called tikyap, and two people hold a string with chalk on it, and somebody snaps it and draws a line on the wood, and that's called a tik. When you do a mandala, for example, for a fire offering, you have to tikyap. You have to lay out all the lines first. You have to calculate all the lines, and so it means to lay out a line, tik. And then nak means black, stands for nakpo, which means black. So in some of the hells, there are hell guards, or hell, like torture, people who torture you there, beings that torture you there. In Yangtze, there are no hell guards. You're torturing each other. In Thich Nhat, there are these very powerful beings. They're much larger than humans. They're much stronger than humans. And they have the ability, they come to you and they just grab you and they force you down on the ground. The ground is hot like steel anyways, hot steel. And then they take like chains and they heat them up red. And then they set them down on your body. They force them down on your body. And then it produces this line across your body, like a black line, where it burns your body. So you've seen those pictures of in the butcher shops of how the cow is going to be cut up, you know, like this will be the loin and this will be the... So they do that. They do either four or eight or more. They quarter you up with these, they draw lines on your body. And then other hell guards come and they either have saws or axes or weapons like that, knives, and they split you up along the lines. They cut you up along the lines. And so eventually you're just pieces of flesh lying around on this metal floor that's burning. But you still have your consciousness is not destroyed. The karma of the place is that each part of your body is still experiencing the pain that it would feel when it was connected to you. So your parts are thrown all over the hell, burning. But you still feel as though you're one being, and you still feel the pain of each part. And that's part of the karma to be there.
And do you revive again or something like that?
The problem with the hell is that you can never go unconscious. You can't, except Yangtze temporarily, I mean, before they tell you to get back up. But in the other hells, you can't stop feeling the pain. You can't, there's no rest, you know, you don't get any, there's no point at which you just, it's so much pain that you black out or something like that. You have the karma to be aware all the time you're there.
So what do? You just regenerate spontaneously in that hell?
Yeah, at some point the pieces come back together, just by nature, and then they draw the lines again, and then someone comes and chops you up again.
Yeah. What's the karma of these beings who do that?
It's very hard to find the specific ones, but I did search for all those texts, and they say especially whipping other people, like in some countries, like in Tibet also. It was a common punishment to horsewhip people who, you know, as a criminal would be tied down and lashed. And they say that's for the lines. And then just generally all of the hells, killing is a very typical karma for creating that. And then more specifically, any extreme form of all 10 non-virtues. So in general, if you commit the 10 non-virtues in a heavy form, like killing a human being, then it would take you to the hells. And if you did it in a medium form, you know, like hurting other people, you'd be born as a preta. And then as a light form, you know, like causing minor injury to other people, that would be
What about the karma of the guards?
We'll talk about it. Basically, it's like this. Well, we'll talk about it. That's a good question. It's often talked about. Say Dunjom.
Dunjom.
Dunjom. Dun means to collect together or gather together. Jom is related to the Jom in Drachomba. So it means what? To destroy. So Dunjom means to collect together and destroy.
Was there a name for the last hell?
Black lines, or lines of black. This hell you could call gather and smash or something like that. Gather and smash. The idea is that there are hell guards in this hell. They force you into like a canyon. Like they drive you into a space between two big mountains. And they say the mountains have the appearance of an animal's head. Like sometimes they say a goat's head, sometimes a horse's head. and sometimes other kinds of animals can. And they force you in between those, and then the two mountains collapse. The two sides of the canyon just close, and they smash all the beings inside. Then they open again, then your body just regenerates. The karma is that your body just regenerates again. And then they force you back in again, and then the mountains take on a different look of a different kind of animal's head, and then they close again and they smash you. That's the body of Dishara.
And how is this worse than black
tiles? They say something like the painting. Doubles in each hell or something, and the time you're there increases. The lifespan is longer. They say that the particular karma that gets you to this hell is killing, and I've seen scriptures when I was checking it that it relates to the kind of animal that you used to kill. So you'll see, you know, if you used to kill sheep or cows, you'll see that the mountains will be shaped like the head of the animal that you used to kill. Say Lumbu.
Lumbu.
Lumbu. The main thing here is that you're on a... the whole ground of the hell... They say the whole ground of the hells are steel, anyway. Steel, iron. And that they're like red hot. They're like a blacksmith's, what do you call it? I don't know. But they're red hot, like a forge. They're red hot. And you're just naked. You're just running across this red hot steel. And I think the characteristic here is there's nowhere to go. I mean, it's 90,000 miles to the corner of hell. And... And you can't stand still because you're in such pain that you can't bear it. So you're just running. And every time you put your foot down, then more of your foot is burned. And it just starts burning up your leg. I mean, the bottoms of your feet start to actually burn away. And then it reaches the bones of your feet and they start to burn away. And then eventually you're just running on your knees. You're trying to move on your hands and knees and across the steel, and it's just burning. Your flesh is just burning off. And at some point you can't run anymore, and then the flesh regenerates, your feet, your legs regenerate, and then you can get up and start running again. But there's nothing... I think the point is sort of this helplessness that you... There's nowhere to go. You're naked. There's nowhere to run. It's just a huge 90,000-mile... piece of sheet of steel, and there's no place to go. All you can do is run, and you just spend countless lives, basically. You keep regenerating, and you can't, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. You just run and scream. And the meaning of this word is to scream. Yuma means to scream.
So what is this one called?
Screaming.
Did you say all the hells were iron, or just this one?
Well, they all are, but this one in particular, they're like... They say that you're like a piece of fried meat on a what do you call it? Frying pan.
So is it true that in the other hells you're burning your feet
you're
also?
Yeah, but not as severe. But, I mean, linguistically, but related to the word for what? What's Burma?
Tibet.
Tibet, okay. I mean, they debate why Tibet is called Pu. And some people say because it's a stone's throw from India, meaning you could, if you stood at the border of the Holy Land, you could call to someone in Tibet and they would hear you. So it's Pu. It's only a call away from the Holy Land. You know, if you stood on the border of India, you could call to somebody in Tibet. So therefore, Tibet is called Pu. I mean, that's one, nobody really knows why, but sometimes they say. Say Ngumbo.
Ngumbo.
Chembo.
Chembo.
Ngumbo. Chembo.
Chembo.
That's number five. Chembo just means great screaming hell, the great screaming hell. And the pain is just, say, double of the previous hell. Just everything hurts more.
And you stay there twice as long?
Like the pain is twice as bad.
And you stay there twice as long?
Much longer. I don't know if it's exactly twice. I believe it is. But I think it depends on each person's personal... Typical lifespan is like that. Say tawa.
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 Tawa just means heat. The hell is called heat. And the characteristic is that there's a... it's like a small hut made of metal, steel, and it has one door, and they shove you inside and they close it, and then they heat the steel. So the steel becomes red hot. And you, there's no windows, there's no door, there's no nothing. You're locked in, the door's sealed, and you can't do anything. There's no place to go. It's that feeling of nothing you can do. You just have to stand there. People are running. Every time they touch the wall, it's burning off their hands. And there's nothing they can do. They can just run around in there and suffer and scream. And that's the nature of that hell. That's all it is. Say, Raptatala. Raptatala. Rap means extremely. Raptu means extremely, like Rirab is the highest mountain, Mount Meru. That's the Sumeru. It's the Su and Sumeru. Extremely. Listen, there's a better word. It just means supremely, okay? Supremely Tawa. Tawa means hot. I've heard it explained two ways. The one that I think is correct is that there are like two rooms, like you're shoved into a chamber that has two rooms, and it's hotter, it hurts more, and you run from one room to the other because you think there might be some way, it might help somehow or something. So you're just running back and forth. The whole hut that you're enclosed in is steel, and there's no way to get out, and you're just running, it's hot, it's red hot, and you're running back and forth, trying to do something. You can't even touch the walls because your arms will burn. And you're just running. And your feet are slow. Your feet and your legs are being burned up as you run. And then they regenerate and you get up and you run again.
Many people share this room.
I said it the other day and it's... one person per room. It sounds to me from the book, from the scriptures. But in general, how many beings in the hells is... to be a human is like one in a million. To be a human is one in a million. There are many more beings in the hells. And then among humans, to ever hear of Dharma is again one in a million. And then among people who hear about Dharma, to try to practice it is one in a million. And then people who try to practice and keep their vows pure and really... keep their lives pure, also again, extremely rare. It's in the Vinaya that talks about it. Say, Narme.
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 Nar means agony, torment. Me means none. So it's sort of a misnomer. No torment. But what it means is the torment there, the suffering there, it has this quality that it never gets less. It is the greatest suffering that a being can experience. It is said to be in Narme is more painful than all the other pain going on in the other parts of the three realms at that moment. You know, all the pain that all other beings are experiencing throughout the three realms at that moment is not equal to the pain that you feel. And that never gets less. You never have like 99% of that or 98% of that or something like that. The degree of pain is always constant and it's never less than that. You never have a break. You never have a moment where the pain dips a bit. It's constant at that level. And they say that there's you're born there and then a fire, like a jet of fire, comes at you from the one direction, like from the east, and it hits you and it starts to burn you, and then they say that you become incandescent, that your body starts to become like a filament in a bulb, and all they can see, if you went there, all you could see would be this indistinguishable, looks a little bit human, this incandescent figure. And they say if you, if it weren't for the, they make some kind of whimpering scream or something. They can't quite express themselves in a scream. So it's some kind of whining sound. They're just in fire. They're just totally in fire. And otherwise you wouldn't be able to recognize that they were human, that they were a sentient being. It would just seem to be like a column of flame or something. And it's only from the sounds coming out that you know that it's a living thing. And then jets of fire come from the other directions, and it maintains that. It's constant. It's the longest life that you can live is there. You know what I mean? In Sanskrit, it's called Avicii. Next is a Tangyagya. Say Tangya.
Tangyagya.
Tangya.
Tangyagya.
Tang means cold. Tangyagya means the eight cold hells. It's another set of eight hells. It's supposed to be, as I understand it from reading the text, it's parallel to the hot hells. It's in a different direction, under Tise, under maybe the Himalayan range or something like that. Shake the same. I think one of them was Sawa and then Sawa Temple. Maybe you missed the jump between Sawa and Sawa Temple. You can check the reading. Okay. Cold hells. They have, I'm not going to go through them name by name. They're in your reading, and we don't have much time. But basically, the entire surface of the hell is ice. It's a huge expanse of ice, and there's nowhere to go. There's no protection. You are naked. You're standing out on a huge surface of ice. The winds are blowing against your body, and there's nothing to do. You can't protect yourself. If you walk through the cold hells, it's just like little shapes of people bent down trying to huddle and protect themselves. In the easier, lighter hells, your body is starting to blister. And then as you go down into deeper hells, the blisters are opening, and they have names like lotus, and Utpal lotus, different kinds of flowers to describe the color of these massive blisters on your body. As the cold gets worse, they start to open up, to split, and your body starts to split open like a flower. And all over your body, the flesh starts to split open, and then the different kinds of screams. Or the moans that people make in those hells. But they have different kinds of moaning in the different hells. And that's, as you go down, that's what distinguishes the beings in the cold hells. Say, Nye Korwe.
Nye Korwe.
Nyawa.
Nye
Korwe.
Nye Korwe.
Nyawa.
Nye
Korwa means, like the hot hells are here, and then there are these other hells around it. They circle the hot house. So like if you could go to the edge of the hot house to this wall of steel, and if you could break through the wall, you would enter one of these Nyekorwa. Nyekorwa means adjacent house. And there are four doors at the four quarters of each hell. And if you could, if your karma to stay in that hell starts to diminish, you're able to get out through the door. So it's like, it's a change in your own karma. Your karma is changing, and it allows you it's slightly less, you've worn off the bad karma, slightly, and then you're able to escape through one of these doors and get out of the hothouse, but then you find yourself in another problem. And there are like four different zones in the adjacent house. You go through four different zones, and it's like some kind of a progression that you always go through. So in the first zone, you find yourself, it's like a big trench filled with burning embers. And then you have a choice. You can go back onto that steel, burning steel, or you can jump into the trench. There's only two choices. You have to do one or the other. So the beings figure, they figure there's nothing to lose. They jump into the trench. And then it comes up to your knees, and it starts to burn your flesh off. It burns off the flesh. And you're running across the trench. You're trying to get across the trench. And every time you raise up your foot, it regenerates the skin. So when your foot goes down, it starts to get burned away. And then when your foot comes up into the air, it grows back. So each time you get the same pain of your feet burning off. Then there are other sufferings that you can read. The next one is you're up to your neck in, it's called the swamp of corpses. And it's like rotten corpses and excrement. And you're up to your neck in it. You're trying to get across it. And then there are these kind of creatures that live inside the swamp that are biting at you. And like piranhas or something, but they're ripping away at your skin. You try to get out of that, you run to the next zone, which is called the razor road. And there's just razors laid out, face up, laid up. And there's nowhere to go. You can either go back to those piranhas, or you can keep running. And it's just razors facing up. And you're just running across razors, running across the blades of razors. And again, every time your foot comes up, it regenerates. And then when you get to the end, you see some trees. You're running across these razors. You see some trees. You have some hope. You run over towards the trees. And they have these huge leaves that are shaped like knives. And when you reach under them, then the leaves start to fall down and they start to cut you. They turn out to be steel. And then there are these dogs, these huge wild animals, dogs chasing you, and you try to climb up the tree. And the tree has a skin made of these long daggers, and when you try to climb up, they turn down. And so you're trying to climb over these daggers, and you have a choice of going back to the dogs that have these fangs like steel, or you can try to climb the tree. If you get to the top of the tree, you think you're safe and you're standing there, and then these crows come that have like steel beaks, and they start to plucking out your eyeballs and your face, and then you decide maybe it's better if you get down. And then the thorns turn around the other way and start to face you again. So then you're climbing down these knives. You're holding on to knives to get away from the cross. Those are basically the adjacent hells. I'll do really briefly then. There's one more kind of hell. Say ni tsewe.
Ni tsewe.
Nyawa.
Ni
tsewe.
Nyawa.
Ni tsewe means partial, but in the sense of only a tiny part. Ni tsewe. So you could call them the partial hells. And it's a very interesting karma. It's very personal. It's not a public karma that where you collect it with other people. It's like a karma that only one or two people share. And then they are born into a specific small area where there's some kind of very painful hell going on. And they say that it could even be located in certain locations on Earth, on the face of this planet. That in extraordinary, like if your plane crashed in the middle of the Gobi Desert, and there were no hope of getting any help, and you just sat there while the sun baked you and killed you, then it would be something like a Nitsewa Nyawa. And that's a very restricted little hell, and it's restricted to your own experience, and no one knows you're there, your plane crashed there, and there's no hope, and you're just sitting there, burning up, dying. And they say there are places like that on the earth and also down near the hothouse.
Is this as a human or as a hell being?
You're a hell being. So it's not like you're a human. That's like an example, but you're actually in a location where you're having a birth. I'm supposed to be teaching a Dharma class, you know. It started out as a language class about 15 years ago. And then it developed into a Dharma class. So, I mean, partly I'm supposed to teach you all these facts, and you're supposed to regurgitate them on your homework. And then you're supposed to learn a language. But really the point of having this class is, I mean, if nothing else, my responsibility now is to convince you that these could exist and to keep you out of them. You know, to try to describe some way that everyone in this room could stay out of those places. I mean, that's a life or death thing. It looks like a nice Saturday morning class. I just had some nice cappuccino over at this place over there, and it's a nice day, and the sun is nice, and we're all going to go out in 10 minutes and go to New Jersey. But it's my responsibility to first of all try to make you feel that it really exists, and that and how you could get there. So what is it? We talked about it the other night. I don't know, it's Friday night class or something, but how do you get to hell? Somebody says, go to hell. How are you going to get there? You know, how do you get to hell? I mean, how long does it take, first of all? Huh? It could be as short as three thoughts from now. It could be as short as 30 seconds from now. I mean, at any point in your life, it could be as short as a half a minute away, or 1 minute away. So first of all, time frame, you know. It could be as close as a minute away for any one of us. You know? I mean, that's the first thing. Now, how do you get there?
And the East to a serious extent?
I mean, there's a very, very, Shantideva, and there's a very powerful thing in the, I think it's in the Gacha Rupa Sutra. It said, who made the house? You know, Shantideva says, you know what, did they send a construction crew down to under the ground, you know, like the Lincoln Tunnel, and they worked all day and they constructed these houses? I mean, where do the houses come from? It is your own projection. Okay? It is your own projection. That's the first thing. You know, if it's empty, which is to say if it exists, okay, if it's empty, it doesn't have a quality of its own. It does not have any quality of its own. It's just an empty place. There's nobody there. It's some kind of cavity under the earth. And there's nobody there. There's nothing going on there.
Your projection is to hell. Your projection leads to karma.
Absolutely. And the text says that in the same verse. In the same poem. It says, who makes hell, who makes heaven? You know, who makes paradise? It's the same. It's all your projections. It's a shift in your projections. Okay? The projections shift from human projection, New York City projection, to Bardo projection, and then what? Hell projection. I mean, it's just three projections. It could be three sembas in a row. How long does it take to do three sembas? 64 just now. So, I mean, you can go to hell and back 20 times in that much time. I mean, that's how long it takes to get to hell. That's how close we are to hell. You know, you feel like some kind of comfort that you're still breathing, you're still fairly young, you're healthy, you know. To get to hell, you'd have to get old. Then you'd have to die. They'd have to put you in a box. You'd have to have a funeral. There'd be a delay, you know, all this time. And they would put the box under the ground, and then eventually maybe you would end up in hell somehow. It's not like that. All it takes is three shifts in your own mind to get to hell. That's all it takes. Yeah.
Does it take a human to get to hell?
No. The normal route from the thought realms, form and formless realm, 99.999% go to the hells directly. Because they are
but
wearing
are
out good
doing,
karma.
What are they doing there to create?
They're not doing any bad karma at all.
I know, they're only burning good, but why does that...
Because when you burn out the good, all that's left is the bad. You know, they're completely, totally...
So nothing they did in that life?
Nothing, no. They totally, purely, completely exhaust every good karma they have. So all it takes is some change in your projections. Can you choose to have different projections? Can you select projections? Can you decide now, having heard that these things might exist, I won't go there. I'll decide, since it's only a projection, I will choose not to have those projections. They are forced on you. As much as this one right now is being forced on you, you'd like to see me as a tantric deity. You can't. Neither can I. You know, I just don't have the karma. I could. I mean, if I had the right karma, if I kept my vows absolutely purely, sincerely, knowing all these things, I wouldn't have to be here. I wouldn't have to be seeing these things like this, because they're empty. I mean, that gives you the clue to how to stay out of the house. You just keep your vows. And it becomes, you know, you and I, we keep our vows light. We think of them in the morning before we go to work. We go to work, we come home, we eat, we go to Dharma class, or we go to see our friends. And then late at night, we think about our vows again. Because we're doing our practice at the end of the day. It's not enough. You know, even just time-wise, it's not going to work. It won't work. You know, you have to be tundu. I mean, you have to be examining your vows 6 times a day. I mean, you have to go in the bathroom 6 times a day. I mean, the Muslims are not crazy. I mean, they stop a certain time, and other religions where they just stop at noon. They stop at 9 o'clock. They stop at 3 o'clock, and they review their mental continuum. Because you could stop breathing the next 10 minutes. You know, you have to really examine your vows and keep them carefully. It doesn't take a big bad deed to get to the house. It's not difficult to cause that. Why is that? Why is a small bad deed why do you have to go through that?
What is the multiply?
I mean, why would a small bad deed get you to millions of years of suffering? Why?
Expands.
It expands. I mean, karma expands exponentially. If you don't clean it out of your mind stream, if you neglect it and leave it in your mind stream, it will create a result like that. And it's not out near Pluto as a boomerang, you know. It's in your own mind stream. And how is it ripening? In your own perceptions. In your own perceptions. Your karma is ripening now by the jillions. You know, to maintain this room with all these people in it and this guy standing up there. These are karmas ripening in your own mind. I'm ripening in your own mind. My words are ripening in your own mind. You know, that's... And it's ripening as much more powerful than what you did to when you planted that perception. So it's quite possible to go to hell. It's no problem. Philosophically, logically, psychologically, no problem. If you understand perceptual theory at all, if you understand the mind at all, it's no problem at all. There's no reason why these can't exist. It's just an exaggeration of a state of mind that you had long before. That's ripening, as a great exaggeration. You had a perception when you hurt someone. It stays in your mind stream, getting larger and larger, and then it ripens as an experience in hell. It doesn't. If you explain it like that, there's no problem. You don't have to think of hell as out there. Hell is not out there. Hell isn't somewhere where you go. Hell is a perception that you start to have, and it takes about 3 seconds. To go to hell, and that's how you go to hell. You don't have to get on a train and go some down underground. It is the process of 3 thoughts occurring in your mind, and you can go there this afternoon. It makes sense. You can. So you really have to do what you can to avoid it. And taking refuge is a big one. I mean, that's supposed to be when you take refuge. Like if people are going to take refuge this afternoon. It's supposed to be the motivation behind it. You're supposed to be thinking, I need to learn how to stay out of these places. How do you do it? You take vows. Does taking vows get you out of the hell? No, you have to keep them. Okay. Can you keep them if you don't know them? You can't. I mean, most of us are like, what are your vows? And they'll say, I have bodhisattva vows. You say, oh, did you keep number 13 yesterday? You say, see, I don't remember what's 13. You know, but you better be able to go like, I mean, all the texts say, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'm keeping number 13 today. It should be like that. This is life and death. You know, you should be able to rattle off your body. I was in I won't name the city and I won't name the Dharma Center. No one could tell me the 10 non-virtues last weekend. Or very few people, almost nobody. I mean, that's, then how are you going to keep them? You know, you have to know them. You have to learn them. Tantric vows especially, you have to know them. You have to study them, because you have to keep them. If you keep them, you stay out of the word. Do you know what the word Dharma means? Dur. It comes from the root dur. Dur meaning to hold back from what? Mostly from the high hells, okay? And the very word Dharma means to restrain someone from throwing themselves down into the hells. I mean, if you don't get anything out of this class, at least be good. You have to be good. You know, don't become one of these Dharma monsters that knows everything about Dharma and is still a bad person. You know, that's just really, really a huge... It's a very potential for us, because we're learning so much, and we know so many Dharma facts. And then if you say to somebody, did you meet anybody from that class on 6th Street? They say, yeah, they're really obnoxious. You know, that means you didn't learn anything. You know, you have to apply it to your own mind and to your own life. And you have to keep yourselves out of the hells. Yeah.
So it seems to me to keep yourself out of the hells, it's a question of it when you're dying or at the moment of death to try to somehow bring all of your virtuous karmic seeds to ripen at that point, to flower at that point.
It's one method, you know, it's one thing. But much more efficient is just be good and achieve nirvana in this life. If you reach a certain stage in the five paths, you cannot take a lower birth anymore. Impossible. If you see emptiness directly, you can never have anything less but than extraordinary births for the next seven lives, and then that's over. You know, if you reach a certain understanding of emptiness intellectually, you can never take birth there again anyway. You just can't do it. If you reach a certain point in the second path, you cannot take birth there anymore. Two quick questions, then we have to... she's been waiting, yeah.
Okay, you said the woman is a process of three thoughts. Is that literally three thoughts?
It could be minimum. I mean, one thought at the last moment of this life, one instant in the bardo, and then one instant in the hell. You could be to the hell in three or four breaths. You know, you could go to, it doesn't take that long. We're not that far away. I mean, we are, it's as if hell is some invisible door and we're always standing at the in front of it, and it just takes one step. We're that close. Don't think of yourself as 1,000 miles from hell. It could happen in the next 5 minutes. At any time. We're always in that condition. And it's really true, and I'm a Dharma teacher, and I'm supposed to be teaching you, and I would feel really bad if somebody went to hell. You know? I mean, it's serious. It's very serious. I don't know how to... I don't know what to do to... it's just real. It's really there, and you have to keep your vows. Anyway, it's fun to keep vows, and it makes you happy, so... Even if you're not going to go to hell, even if there is no hell, it's still the best way to live. So you might as well keep. It makes you quite happy, you know. So keep them.
Yeah. What are these beings that are hell guards?
Oh yes, no hell guards. There's big debates about it. On the highest level, they are again projections of yours. But some scriptures say they are actually beings, and the karma of being a hell guard makes them born in the hell immediately after. No fun to be a hell guard either. Did you have? No. Okay, we'll stop because we have to. People who are going to New Jersey should really move it and get down there on time because it's really bad to be late to make it to these things. And then we'll do the quizzes next time. There's homework. There's homework here which I'll pass out. And there's readings up here. You can just take it. Okay. The Tibetan track. You'll get your 6th class after the 7th class. We'll have class 6 next.
This is 7.
This is 7.